My invitation this evening is tied to the lesson we just had, and I'd like you to join me in Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. Earlier this evening, we were studying Psalm 81, and we noted in verses 1 and 4 that God was specifically described as the God of Jacob. And I said, I felt there was a reason for that. Let's see if you agree. As we read the account of Jacob's life beginning in chapter 25 of Genesis, he was a liar. He was deceitful. He took advantage of others. So how could such a person find a place in God's heart? Well, you may recall that Jacob was Abraham's grandson, the son of Isaac and Rebekah. His birth is recorded in Genesis 25, verses 24 through 26. I'd like you to read that with me. So when Rebekah's days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. In Hebrew, the name Esau means rough or coarse, as to the touch, like something rough, coarse. And the name Jacob means heel grabber. It actually means heel grabber. That's why they named him that. The name's also translated supplanter. Supplanter. And in today's dictionary, that means to trip up or to overthrow. If you know the story of Jacob, you know this is all true. Rebekah knew early on that her twins' relationship would be tumultuous. God told her during her pregnancy in Genesis 25:23 that the older shall serve the younger. The older shall serve the younger. Now, it probably didn't make much sense to Rebekah at the time, since the eldest son typically was the one to receive the greater of his father's inheritance. That's his birthright. Esau was described as the rugged type, outdoor type, and Jacob liked to cook. It reminds me of a family in modern times where one son might be out playing football or rugby and stuff like that and tumbling around outside and maybe hunting game with his dad, while the other son practices the violin and cooks in the kitchen with mom. That's pretty much the difference between the two of them. And in Genesis 25, verses 29 through 34, we read how Jacob took advantage of his older brother in a weak moment of hunger. And in verse 32, Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me?" Another person might have said, "I'm so hungry I could eat a horse," but no, not Esau. Said, "I'm so hungry, I'm about to die, so what's this birthright to me?" And in verse 38, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew. When their father Isaac was on his deathbed years later, Jacob came into him and intentionally deceived him, lied to him, deceived him into thinking that he was Esau, his older brother, the hairy one. He asked for his father's blessing, as the eldest son would be expected to, but he wasn't the eldest son. And with Rebekah's help, Jacob even wore garments so that when his father touched him, he wouldn't feel Jacob's smooth skin. He would feel the goat skin that he was wearing, that it would feel like Esau. But Jacob was found out, and we read in Genesis 27:35 that Isaac told Esau, "Your brother came in with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Jacob fled for his life after this and spent 14 years apart from his family. He worked hard, and in the process, he discovered what it was like to be lied to and to be deceived. Then Jacob had a dream. And as a result of this dream, he made a vow to God in Genesis 28, verses 20 through 21. "If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, the God of Jacob." He wrestled with God. He wrestled with God in chapter 32 and prevailed, thus earning the name Israel. That's when his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. I like to think that that wrestling match was God's way of testing Jacob's strength, his endurance, and his determination. Jacob had been a liar. He'd been deceitful. He'd been quick to take advantage of another. So how could such a person come to find a place in God's heart, the God of Jacob? We read about Abraham's obedience to the Lord from the start, how his son Isaac followed his father in that manner. God said that David was a man after his own heart. Moses resisted at first, yeah, but he obeyed. There's Noah, Jeremiah, Isaiah. I could list a lot. I could list a lot of names in the Bible worthy of this reference, God of. The God of Jacob. But Jacob is written this way over a dozen times in the Psalms, the God of Jacob, as well as in Exodus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts, throughout the Bible. The psalmist referenced God of Jacob twice in Psalm 81. It's my thought that he focused on the God of Jacob only for the simple fact that God is not just the God of the rich, not just the God of the regal. He's not just the God of those who submit immediately. But he is willing to be the God of the Jacobs. The Jacobs out there who are hard-headed, disrespectful, rebellious, just as the nation Israel was, as we read in Psalm 81. And Paul pointed out in Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Jesus said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But there's no time frame spelled out in between that. God pleaded for Israel to hear him. He pleaded for them to hear him through the law and the prophets. And today, we have God's word available for us to hear. Hear him, believe him, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, repent, and be baptized. Those are the steps that we must all take in order to find salvation in our God. Whether we obey the Lord of our youth, or like Abraham and Isaac, or well into our life like Jacob did, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is willing to be our God also. I'd like to close this evening by inviting anybody who wishes prayers to come forward. I invite you to come forward, or to stand now as we sing.